I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. For me to impose that judgment on everyone else is inappropriate in a pluralistic society.
I can do my part doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline and pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Barack Obama was a community organizer like Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all.
You know, you don't have to go very far from the time of the apostles, who themselves suffered under Christian persecution, to find it rearing its ugly head again. In fact, the first several centuries of the Christian experience really is largely of persecution, great and small. And the Christians found themselves in that unique position, which would probably never be repeated again, on the wrong side of Roman law. And I don't know if we can really understand what it was like to be a Christian on the wrong side of Roman law in the Roman Empire since Christianity was legalized. And of course, we live in a very liberal society where all religions are legal. What was it like to be a bishop and eventually perhaps a martyr for the name of Christ when you lived your whole life illegally on Sunday morning? Cyprian of Carthage knew what it was like. We're going to talk a bit about him here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us as we come to you live this Tuesday, September the 16th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Or you can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. Then Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the radio program The White Horse Inn, professor of systematic theology and Christian apologetics at Concordia University in Irvine, California. He'll be our guest to begin a four-part series with him on the solas, that is, the great alones of the Reformation. Today we begin with the one without which all the other solas make no sense, Christ alone. That's coming up a little bit later on Issues, Etc. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He joins us to talk about third century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. Pastor Whedon, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's a joy to be with you on this day.
If I read my history correctly, Cyprian was baptized a Christian, and then about a couple years later, ordained a bishop. And then a couple years later, a pretty serious persecution broke out for Christians in the Roman Empire. Some would say bad timing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, if your best life is now, then Cyprian chose the wrong time to become a Christian. But because Cyprian, like St. Paul, believed that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he knew that his best life was the life that Christ was giving to him in the present now, but it was a life from the future, a life that he clung to, the promise of an eternity with Christ because of what he has done on his cross for all people by suffering, dying, and rising again. So because he believed very firmly that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, it wasn't a bad time to become a Christian. It was a great time to become a Christian. Actually, I believe that it was only 1 year apart. I think he was elected a bishop in 248, and I think that the persecution under Decius broke out across North Africa in 249. So, I mean, right away, as a pastor, he was confronted with the difficulties of living this, as you said, illegally under Roman condemnation for proclaiming King Jesus as the Kyrios, the Lord of all.
There were many Christians, especially in North Africa, who during the time of intense persecution lapsed. I mean, that was the term they used. They fell away, or they may have made public denial of their faith in Jesus Christ. And then after the persecution died down, they wished to return, some repentantly, to the fold of the church. This is something Cyprian had to deal with. What was the problem here?
Yeah, it was a huge problem can you call it our Lord's fair weather friends? The difficulty of how do you bring back into the communion of the church those who have just who denied Christ publicly, blatantly, when the fear of the persecution was upon them. Cyprian had, in the first persecution, the one under Decius, had gone into hiding himself. He was criticized for that, but you know, there's a strong tradition in the church that, hey, you're not to go out running after martyrdom. If the Lord gives it to you as a gift, rejoice in it. But he was recognizing that if he could live another day to come back to the flock on earth and help them, you know, right there in Carthage, he would do that, and so he did. When he came back, he found some priests who basically were saying, oh, it doesn't matter, come on back in. The church is a place of forgiveness, and you don't need to worry about it. And he had the difficult task, the discerning law gospel task, of helping them see the greatness of the sin that is involved with publicly denying Jesus Christ. And the solution that they found was kind of strict by our standards. We look at that and say, boy, that was really harsh. They held them off from communion for quite a while, even to their deathbed, to be able to live in penance and repentance for what they had done. But they wanted to make it really clear that the Lord is a Lord of great forgiveness, and there is a way back in. But at the same time, you must never think lightly of publicly denying Jesus Christ.
So, in a sense, while we would have said they were not accepted back into full communicant membership, which is kind of an institutional way of talking about it, they were withheld from the sacrament of the table because it was considered their time of repentance was insufficient. What was the thinking here?
Well, the thinking here is that they need to actually walk a path of repentance to God. That is not something that the church could just merely... You know, Christ had said, whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. The church knew that there is such a thing as forgiveness for deniers. They never forgot St. Peter. You know, he denied Christ before men. He was also restored. They knew that the restoration could happen, but they didn't think that the restoration should simply be something that the person could plan on taking advantage of. Can I put it like this? Have you ever heard of planned repentance? I was talking to a fellow pastor about this not too long ago, where, you know, dealing with a person in his parish who had, you know, been confronted with a sin, said, yeah, I know it's a sin, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, and you're going to forgive me later. That's kind of what they were up against, that kind of planned repentance, which is just deadly to the soul. So they want to make sure that the soul, you know, that the people in the parishes there recognized the severity of what they had done, that to publicly deny the hope that we have in the crucified and risen Lord is a big deal, not a little thing, but a huge thing. And they tried to reflect that in their practice. Like I said, probably for most of the church across history, we would say they were a little severe, but you know what? We weren't living under what they were living under. And remember, there would be people there gathered in the assembly who had scars on their bodies for the suffering they had endured during that time.
There came a persecution where Cyprian, apparently in his wisdom, decided this time he was not going to go into exile, but he was going to remain for the persecution, and it cost him his life. What do we know?
Yeah, that was the Valerian persecution, and when that took place, he did not hide. He did withdraw at the beginning, but then he thought, no, I think this is the time for my public confession. He was. He came and bore witness. They exiled him at first, and then finally had a trial, found him guilty, and they beheaded him. And they beheaded him actually on September 14th. And I do not know why his saint day is actually not observed on that the day of his death when it usually is, but it's typically observed 2 days later, 2 days after he was beheaded for confessing the truth of Jesus Christ. Are you going to ask me for any good Cyprian quotes?
Oh yeah, I want two things out of you, but a quick Cyprian quote before we go. What is your favorite Cyprian quote?
Well, my all-time favorite Cyprian quote is where he said, "The custom without truth is merely the antiquity of error." And there's a temptation for those of us who love the history of the church to equate antiquity with truth, and St. Cyprian simply warned, you know what? Satan's been around a long time, and as long as the truth's been around, he's been around perverting it. He's a liar, a murderer from the beginning. And so just because something is out there and it is, you know, ancient, does not by itself make it true. Isn't that a beautiful insight?
Yes, it is. It puts our eyes firmly on the truth. And speaking of truth, Before we let you go, I want some of your thoughts on the forthcoming devotional from Concordia Publishing House. I know you're really excited about this, perhaps overly excited about Treasury of Daily Prayer. Your thoughts?
Hey, how can you be overly excited about something that's going to do such a great thing for the people of God? This is a great, great resource. This book, I want to stress this is one book. It will have your daily Bible readings in it from the Old and the New Testament. You're going to have, when you come to today, you're not going to have to wait and say, I wonder what issues we're going to cover today about St. Cyprian, you know? No, you open the book, and the book's going to tell you a little bit about St. Cyprian. It's going to have a prayer related, thanking God for his ministry in this, on this day. In fact, the reading, the non-biblical reading for today is a commentary by St. Cyprian on the New Testament reading assigned for this day in that book. So the book has everything you'll need for a complete prayer life that will lead you deeper and deeper into the sacred scriptures and into how the church has lived with those scriptures for the last 2,000 years. It is going to be unbelievably powerful. I can't recommend it highly enough. Okay, maybe I am a little overexcited, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a great, great resource for the people of God. Everybody should order one for every member of their family.
Folks, to find out about Treasury of Daily Prayer, call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find out about this forthcoming devotional, Treasury of Daily Prayer, at our homepage, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Pastor Will Whedon, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to start a series with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on the great alones of the Reformation, the solas. We'll begin with Christ alone, the most important alone of all. We'll be right back.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.